Okay. Well, so for anyone who doesn't know me, my name is Grace, and I am Pastor Sean's oldest daughter. And when he decided to do a sermon series on mental health, he asked me to stand up and give my testimony. So you're going to have to bear with me. This is going to get a little emotional already. All right, so like I said, I'm Pastor Sean's oldest daughter, so I grew up in the church. I got saved when I was 7 years old, but I kept trying to get saved before then. He would do the invitation time at the end of the sermon, and I'm like, oh, I'm ready. I prayed the prayer, Dad. I'm only four, but come on, I'm ready. Let's go. I don't understand what it means, but here we go. So I was determined to be a follower of Christ from a very young age. But when I got saved at 7 years old, I didn't understand what it really meant to be a follower of Christ in difficult times. And I really didn't understand that. I didn't understand that till I reached middle school. So when I was in middle school, I started feeling broken inside. I was feeling very angry. I was having panic attacks, and I didn't know what was going on. Because I had never really known anybody who had anxiety or depression. And so I didn't understand why something inside of me seemed so broken. And so I kind of kept it a secret. I didn't want anyone to know that there was something wrong with me. Because I looked at everyone else and I thought everyone else was whole. And I was broken. And so because I kept hiding everything, it kept building up. And I got in over my head with my emotions and my anxiety and feelings of worthlessness. And I became very suicidal. And so when I was 12 years old, when I was 12 years old, I tried to take my own life. And thank God that my story does not end there. See, God has a way of shining a light in the darkness. And so what I tried to keep hidden, God would not let me bury deep down. And he wouldn't let me keep it from my family or from my church or from my friends. Because he knows that I needed support to get me through that. And so my parents learned what I had been struggling with. They learned that I was dealing with all this depression and anxiety, and that was a new thing for us. It wasn't something that a lot of people talked about when I was that age. It wasn't something that a lot of people knew about. And so we started this journey with me at around 12 years old of trying to get help. And so we tried all these doctors, all these therapists, and it seemed like things just kept getting worse. When I was around 14 years old, we went to a doctor, and we finally got a diagnosis of anxiety disorder. And the doctor told my mom that with the severity of my anxiety, it was likely I'd never be able to leave home, that I'd never be able to live on my own. But you know, God is in the business of defying our expectations. Because God took that message from the doctor and he tore it up. So for the next several years, throughout high school and moving into college, God started putting people in my life that gave me the strength that I needed to take that next step. He took us to the right doctors who helped us with the right balance that I needed to start to deal with my anxiety for myself. He gave me teachers who made exceptions for me that made the classroom situations easier for me with my anxiety. He gave me amazing church members who prayed for me and who loved on me and who showed me that when I felt worthless and unlovable, that they didn't care, because they were going to love me anyways. And when I thought that I was through with God and I was ready to walk away, God said, you know what? That's fine. You can walk away from me, but I am never going to walk away from you. So God kept putting all of these people and circumstances in my life to show me that I could keep moving and I could keep going on. So my senior year of high school, we got me a service dog. And we were able to accelerate that training from about a year and a half to 6 months. So that way, we were able to destroy the expectations set by that doctor. And so I went to Arkansas to go to college, 4 hours away from my family, by myself. And it was tough. You know, just because I had made so much progress didn't mean my anxiety was gone. It didn't mean I was cured. But it meant I was able to take steps in the right direction. So I went to college. I had a supportive environment of professors who cared for me, of a school that was just overwhelmingly filled with God's love and passion for following Christ. And they were able to walk with me on my journey as I continued to grow. And so we go from me in middle school, me in high school, a feeling like I'd never be able to leave home because my anxiety got so overwhelming. I felt like I could barely function. To the point where I am now, where I went to England this summer without any of my family. I'm graduating from college in December and I'm student teaching this semester. So God has equipped me to do all of these exceptional things that I never thought was possible when I was 10, 11, 12 years old. When I felt like there was no escape from what I was feeling. And so I like to say God didn't cure me of my anxiety, but instead he gave me the strength and support to manage it and to be an overcomer. And he gave me peace with the fact that it's okay to be not okay.
So, man, we want you to know when we come to you about this topic of mental health and mental illness, when we talk to you as a family, when I talk to you as a pastor about it's okay to not be okay. This is not just academic for us. This is not just some, you know, let me see if I can bring you some scriptural knowledge. This is something we know. This is something we understand. We know, and I mean, Grace's, you know, 2-3 minute testimony there for you doesn't do the depths of the nights when you're crying out to God and you think, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this. Like I, as a parent, I'm not sure how am I supposed to help her? How am I supposed to love her? And show her the love that she needs in the midst of this. Those times when you're like, God, won't you just deliver us of this? God, won't you just take this away? And just the absolute desperation that you feel at times. And here's the thing that we really discovered as a family, that we've been in church all our lives. I say 9 months before I was born, I was in church. Okay, I mean, my wife was a pastor's daughter, and we found out that our life of faith, and as much as we loved Jesus, and as much as we sought to follow Him, it had not equipped us for dealing with this. Like, we didn't know, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to handle this? How do we get help? And so if there's anything we can help you with through this series, as we talk about mental health, as we talk about mental illness, and as we walk through it, listen, we as a family can help you in terms of how do we negotiate this? How do we navigate this? How do we deal with doctors? How do I talk to a doctor? How do I find the help that I need? How do I find the right counselor? How do I express myself? How do I say to a doctor, no, I don't want to do that. I want to do something else. And so this is just a really, you know, important and personal topic to us that we really understand. But mental health, mental illness issues are super important in our world. They're really big issues these days. According to the National Alliance on Mental Illness, 1 in 5 Americans will suffer from some kind of mental illness in any given year. 1 in 5. Okay, so that's a diagnosed clinical mental illness. 20% of the people you know in a year's time have some sort of mental illness. Now, it's not going to have a sign over their head. It's not going to be something that you necessarily know or see about, but 1 in 5 people, 1 in 5 Americans will suffer from some kind of mental illness in any given year. Now, maybe we need to start with, what is mental illness? Well, according to the American Psychological Association, mental illnesses are health conditions involving changes in emotion, thinking, or behavior, or a combination of these that are associated with distress and/or problems functioning in social work or social activities, in social work or family, activities. So it's a problem, a mental health condition involving a change in emotion, thinking, or behavior that results in distress and/or problems functioning in social work or family activities. So 1 in 5 of us in any given year, 1 in 5 of us in this room, 20% of the people in this room, diagnosed mental illness, a situation where it's creating a situation where you can't normally function in society, in family life, in a work situation. And beyond that, though, all of us have mental health issues. Okay, can you just embrace that? That everybody in this room, we all have mental health issues. So you may not have a diagnosed mental illness, but you probably have times where you go through periods of anxiety in your life. You may not have a diagnosed mental illness, but there's a chance that sometime in the next year, you're going to go through about a pretty deep depression. You may not have a diagnosed mental illness, but you may blow up and get angry at people at times. So every single one of us, we have mental health issues from time to time. And it's time for us to be honest and open about that. You see, many people in the church feel guilty, embarrassed, ashamed, and afraid to admit struggles with mental health issues. And as a result, they feel isolated and alone, and sometimes even judged. Mental health issues right now are at the forefront of a lot of different kinds of conversations in our society. Conversations about gender identity, education, gun violence, gun control, the opioid crisis, all of those big topics. At some point, mental illness, mental health issues are a part of that kind of conversation. And so we're going to dive into the mix as a church. We're going to have an open conversation about mental health and mental illness and what that means in the church and how we can help and encourage one another and how we can be a safe place for people to admit that they are hurting, to admit that they are not okay, to admit that there is some brokenness, to admit that at times they don't have it all together, and that's okay. Now, let me say this. There are hundreds of landmines when it comes to this issue. And I'm going to do my best not to step on any, okay? I'm going to try to address this with sensitivity. I'm going to try to address it with biblical grounding and biblical backing. But if I accidentally step on a mine, don't just, you know, like, you know, throw me away because of it, okay? Let me offer to you as a pastor that I'm trying to approach this with sensitivity and love and compassion and deal from a biblical standpoint. How do we see these types of issues? We're going to look at how faith impacts and intersects with mental health issues. We're going to help people to find strength and support. We're going to help you if you need some answers. If you go, okay, Sean, I so appreciate that you are dealing with this and I am struggling with something like this and I need somewhere that I can find some answers. Please come to us. Please come to, and maybe some of you today, you heard Grace's testimony and you go, you know what? That's me too. Like, I've been there. Maybe you need to reach out to Grace and say, Tell me, walk me through what you've been through. Walk me through your experience. We need to have the ability to say, it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to struggle. It's okay to wrestle with these kinds of things. Now, before we get started, before we really dive in, it's important for us to understand that the Bible never explicitly speaks about mental illness in terms of how we would define it in modern terms. Okay? You're not going to be able to look at the back of your Bible and go, mental illness, where's that found? Is there a verse that talks about, you're not going to find it, okay? Now, that doesn't mean that the Bible doesn't address these kinds of issues. It does. It just means that the category of mental illness is a modern kind of scientific designation that's not the way people in the Bible thought. Now, let me kind of help you to understand this. There are a lot of subjects that the Bible has something to say about, but it doesn't explicitly speak on those. If you look for the word dinosaur in the Bible, you're not going to find it anywhere, okay? It's not in there because that's not the important element of the storyline that the Bible is telling. But the Bible does tell us about creation. The Bible does tell us things about who God is. And so when it comes to the topic of mental illness, the Bible does not explicitly, specifically say, here's the answer in terms of mental illness. It's just, it's not in the language, it's not in the way that people of the Bible thought. Our modern understanding of and definition of mental illness simply is not something that existed in the biblical world. The Bible sees human beings, for instance, as a whole, not just pieces. So the normal word in the Bible for us as human beings, the Bible talks about our mind, the Bible talks about our heart, the Bible talks about our spirit, the Bible talks about our flesh, about our body, but the overarching word that the Bible uses for you are a soul. And so here's the beautiful thing. The Bible had this whole holistic medicine thing. It was on board with it way before we were, because the Bible sees you not as individual parts, not as a person carved up into your mental life and your physical life and your spiritual life. The Bible sees you as a whole, a soul. And so that's valuable because God cares about every part of you. Like every aspect of your life is important to Him. So some of the things we're going to look at and some of the things we're going to talk about may not be necessarily in the clinical language that we would use in terms of talking about mental illness or mental health. However, the Bible is full of teaching that relates to these issues. By the way, the Bible is full of characters who obviously had mental health struggles. Right? Like, have you read some of them? Have you read about Jonah? I mean, brother was messed up. Okay, he had some problems. Have you ever read any of Jeremiah? Man, Jeremiah, he's lamenting, he's weeping, he's crying out to God. He's saying, God, you tricked me when you called me into doing this thing. Jeremiah had issues. Have you read about Saul? Saul had problems. Like even Paul, the guy that you think, man, he had it all together. Paul is maybe the most honest guy in the New Testament about the fact that he had struggles. He had problems. There were things that he didn't have worked out. He didn't have it all together. The Bible is often brutally honest and raw about issues of mental anguish and emotional pain and questioning and suffering and fear and anger and worry and depression and suicidal thoughts and the trauma of war and jealousy. All of those things are in the Bible. Like people who think if you're a person of faith that you've just got this pie in the sky, by and by mentality, they obviously have not read the Bible. Because the Bible, the people of the Bible wrestle with the grit of real life. They wrestle with pain. They wrestle with difficulty. They wrestle with anguish and suffering. And all of that is found in the pages of the Bible. The Psalms in particular are full of honest, raw confessions about mental health issues. That's why I love the Psalms. Man, if you're looking for a reading plan for your life, a way to really help you dig into the Bible and kind of start getting you into the Word of God, I encourage you, start reading 5 Psalms a day. And you'll go through the Psalms in 1 month. There's 150 Psalms. So if you just read 5 Psalms a day, and what you will find is you'll go, wow, the Bible is expressing something in that Psalm that's exactly what's going on in my life. It's exactly what's going on in my heart. There are psalms that question why. There are psalms of complaint. There are psalms of anguish. There are all of these things in the psalms. There are psalms that are in anger. I mean, all of these kind of things going on in the psalms. I want to show you one in particular. Psalm 42, verses 3-6. Now, If you just later on want to look, Psalm 42 verses 1 and 2 says this. It says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul longs after you. It longs after you like in a dry and thirsty land. So Psalm 1 and 2, we think is this beautiful picture of, oh, you know, we got this kind of scene of a deer standing beside a brook on this, you know, mountainside, and the deer is wanting streams of water. That's not the context of this psalm. The beginning of that psalm is not talking about this healthy, beautiful, wonderful deer stooping to get a drink. It says, as a deer is panting. This is a deer that's in drought. This is a deer that's about to die. This is a deer that's tongue is parched and it's longing for water. It says, as the deer pants for water, so my soul longs after you. In the context of this psalm, the psalmist is saying, God, I have to have you because I'm about to die here. And so look at where he picks up, where we pick up verse 3. He says, my tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? So the psalmist says, man, I'm crying all night long. My pillow is wet with my tears. I'm crying all day long. And other people are saying to me, hey, where's God in the middle of this? And so that's the question that the psalmist is wrestling with too, as he's going through anguish, as he's going through crying day and night. And he says, God, where are you in the middle of this? Verse 4, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. So he says, I remember better days. I remember going to church. I remember spending time in worship. I remember when I'm leading people in praise. But then he says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. So it's the psalmist is going through an intense time of anguish, and he's trying to figure out, how does my faith relate to this? How does who God is, how does that strengthen me? How does my time of worship, how does what I believe impact the fact that right now, my soul is cast down? So that's the kind of thing that we're going to look at in this series. The psalmist wrestling with a time of deep darkness, crying day and night when his soul is downcast and in turmoil on the inside, when he's being criticized by others on the outside, when he is wrestling with how his faith, his trust in God, comes to bear on the anguish of his soul that he is feeling. Now I want you to look, I mentioned the Apostle Paul, I want you to look at what Paul says. And Paul, I believe, in the New Testament was most often brutally honest about some of his own struggle and anguish. Look at what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. He says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. Now, if you look again at the verses that precede that, the treasure that he is talking about is he says, we have the gospel. We have the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this incredible treasure of all that God is and all that Jesus has done living inside of us, but it's inside jars of clay. Frail, broken, imperfect, weak, hurting people. God doesn't put His treasure in perfect vessels. He puts it in jars of clay. That's us. That's all of us. All with our weaknesses, all with our hurts, all with our past, all with our struggles, all with our history, all of that. God places this treasure inside of broken, messed up human beings to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Look at what Paul says. Personal confession here. He says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. And look where he picks up in verse 16. He says, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. So as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So again, Paul says, hey, I'm perplexed. I am crushed. I've been through these difficult situations and times of anguish, and yet God's still working in my life. And God's still doing something in my life. Quickly today, I want to give you three biblical principles for issues of mental health and mental illness. Number one, mental health or mental illness is often a physical issue. Mental health, mental illness is often a physical issue. That is to say that mental health, mental illness issues often stem from physical factors, both internal and external. Paul says that we have this treasure in jars of clay. So we live in a physical world. We inhabit a physical body. There are physical things that affect our mental states. We live in a broken world. We live in imperfect bodies. So there can be any number of physical factors that impact mental health. Mental health, mental illness can be a result of chemical processes within your body that are not functioning normally. It can be a sickness, just like any other sickness. Mental illness can come from the fact that your brain just works differently. Mental illness can come from a genetic predisposition, just something that you've inherited from your family. Mental illness can result from not having sufficient nutrition. I mean, it can be something as simple as you're not eating right. It can be the result of infection, fever, viruses, bacteria, parasites, fungus. It can be the result of hormonal cycles, changes in your stage of life, getting pregnant or giving birth. Amen, ladies? Okay, there's some mental health issues that come with doing that. Raising kids, okay? There can be some mental health issues that come as a result of raising kids. It can be the result of not getting sufficient sleep. There can be all kinds of internal physical factors that are causing you to have mental health issues or mental illness. And as a result, it's okay and right for you to seek physical answers and solutions for mental health issues. You should say amen. Now, here's why you should say amen. Because all too often the church has given people the idea that the only answer for mental health issues is a spiritual answer. And that's not always the case. It can be a physical issue. And in which case, yes, pray, yes, seek God, but yes, go to a doctor. Okay, that would be like you have cancer and you're like, spiritually, God's going to take care of this. I'm not going to go to the doctor. No, there are physical factors. There are physical issues. And so you need to pursue and you need to seek some of those physical answers. You are not a bad Christian if you do that. It's okay for you to go to the doctor. It's okay for you to seek medical help in diagnosing what is going on. It's okay to find out if there are some chemical processes, some things in your body that, hey, you can take some medication and find some solutions there. That's okay. It's okay for you to find out if there are some genetic factors or if there's a virus or infection that is causing you to have issues. It's okay for you to go to a psychologist or psychiatrist. Now, listen, I'll tell you, You have to use your own wisdom and discernment and the guidance of the Holy Spirit in finding the right one, because there's a lot of wrong ones out there. Okay, so you use wisdom, you use counsel, you use the Bible. You don't just throw that out the door and go, okay, well, I got to pursue the scientific route. No, but as you seek help, as you go to psychologists, as you go to psychiatrists, it's okay for you to do those things. It's okay for you to go to a nutritionist. It's okay for you to go to have a sleep study done. That's one of the things that Grace and I did when we were kind of going through this whole process of going to doctors and stuff. One of the things I said, well, let's go have a sleep study done. And I said, I'll go with you when you do it. And while we did it, the tech came out in the morning. He says, there's nothing wrong with her, but you got problems. Just, it's okay to not be okay, all right? So it's okay. It's okay for you to seek physical solutions, and you don't have to be ashamed or embarrassed because you have a physical issue manifesting in a mental issue, and you are seeking a physical solution. Paul writes to Timothy. He tells Timothy this. Timothy obviously had some, maybe he had some anxiety, but he had some stomach problems. And Paul writes to Timothy and says to him, drink a little wine for your stomach. He gives him a physical prescription for a physical issue. because there's something going on with his stomach. And Paul says, hey, Timothy, if you'll drink a little wine, it'll maybe settle your stomach, maybe help with digestion. Things will go okay. That's a very practical, it's in the Bible, physical solution to a physical problem that Timothy was facing. And if mental illness in your life is in part a component of a physical issue, then pursue a physical solution. Go to a doctor. Find out what kind of medicine you need. And you don't have to be embarrassed by that. You don't have to be ashamed of that. You don't have to keep that hidden. It's okay to not be okay. And so pursue those kinds of those physical kinds of help that you may need. Now, not only can mental health, mental illness often be a result of internal physical issues, mental health or illness issues are often the result of external physical issues. You can have mental illness because of what somebody else did to you. And that's not your fault. You can have mental illness because of what somebody else said to you. Mental illness can come from the fact that you were raped, molested, physically or emotionally or psychologically abused. It can come from the fact that your psyche was scarred by what someone else did to you. Mental illness can happen because of something that happened to you, like a car wreck or too many concussions when you were playing football. You can have mental illness because of that, because you sustained too many injuries. Mental illness can come about because of a traumatic brain injury. Mental illness can be because you experienced something traumatic in your life, like war, and things that you saw, and things that you experienced, and things that you had to do, and situations that you were regularly exposed to that produced in you fear and anxiety and stress and despair. It can come about because of chemicals that you were exposed to, or chemicals that you exposed yourself to if you did drugs at some point. All of those things, external, physical factors. And so as a result of those external physical factors, again, it's okay to go to a doctor. It's okay to go to a counselor. It's okay to seek medical help. Mental health, mental illness is often a physical issue, so it's okay to pursue physical solutions. And you're not a bad Christian if you do that. All right, number two, mental health, mental illness is always a spiritual issue. Now, don't start sharpening your pitchforks yet. Don't start lighting your torches and getting the rope ready. I'm going to explain what I mean by that to you. Mental health, mental illness is always a spiritual issue. You see, the Bible teaches that God created a perfect world. There was no sickness, there was no pain, there was no suffering, no disease, no hurt. Human beings created in the image of God, existing in a perfect relationship with Him. But Adam and Eve and all the rest of us who were there in spirit with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden have rebelled against God. And the Bible teaches that the instant we sin, when we rebelled against God, we broke the universe. Like all of creation and all of humanity, everything in existence became fractured as a result of our sinful rebellion against God. So all mental illness and all any kind of illness is ultimately a result of the fact that we live in a broken world. It's a result of the fact that we have rebelled against God. It's a result of the fact that all of creation has been fractured. Cancer is a result of that too. Heart disease is a result of that. Diabetes is a result of that. All of these things are spiritual issues. Now, by the way, not only is all mental and mental health and mental illness a spiritual issue, everything is a spiritual issue. You see, here's the problem. We like to compartmentalize life. And we say, well, this is my work life, and so Jesus doesn't really have anything to do with that. And this is my relational life, and this is my recreational life. And we compartmentalize our life, and we say, Jesus, this is the part that you have control over. And Jesus says, no, I want it all. I want every aspect of your life. And so, yes, our mental health and our mental illness is a spiritual issue. If you look at what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, Paul says that all of creation is groaning because it has been subjected to futility because of our sin. So all creation and all of us experience some mental anguish. We groan because we've rebelled against God. So that being the case, it is true that all illness, not just mental illness, all illness and all suffering and pain and heartache and natural disasters and evil people are a spiritual issue. And by the way, thank God for that. Because that means that spiritual activity can have an impact on all of those things. It means that your mental health and mental illness, that God can be involved in those things in your life. It means that prayer works. It means that religious practices are important. It means that your faith can help you. It means things like scripture reading and memorization and meditation and fellowship with other believers and loving and serving and encouraging others, and all those things can help you. By the way, because it is a spiritual issue, that's why I can talk about this for a sermon series for the next 5 weeks. Like, if it weren't a spiritual issue, then we'd be like, good luck, go to the doctor. It is always a spiritual issue. The National Alliance on Mental Illness says that it is becoming more and more clear that spirituality, religion, and faith can help some individuals live well with mental health conditions. Now, they say some, I say all. I mean, I think if you're plugged into a community, I think if you are praying, I think if you are reading the Bible, I think if you're spending time in worship, that's going to help in terms of mental health and mental illness kinds of issues. Now, let me tell you a few things about spiritual or mental health and mental illness when it comes to the spiritual issue. Even our modern terms for science related to mental health, psychology and psychiatry, recognize this. They both come from the root psuche. It's a Greek word. Psuche means soul. So even our modern kind of medical approach to mental health issues recognizes that there's something more than just the physical when it comes to our mental health or mental illness. So mental health or mental illness is always a spiritual issue, but I want to make sure you understand what I'm saying, so let me tell you what that doesn't mean. One, it doesn't mean that mental health, mental illness is only a spiritual issue. It doesn't mean that it is only a spiritual issue. I mean, I just said that it is often a physical issue, but this is where the church and Christians have often, so often failed people with mental health issues and left them feeling judged, isolated, and alone, because there are a lot of churches and a lot of Christians who say and believe that mental health is always only a spiritual issue, which means there's only a spiritual solution. Listen, if you want to get me, if you want to get Larissa, if you want to get Grace just like livid, I mean just absolutely furious at us, ask this question. Well, have you prayed for God to heal her of that? No, we haven't thought about that one. Man, I'm glad you asked me. We have never even prayed for God to do that. Yes, we've prayed. We've cried out to God. But for whatever reason, God didn't decide that a spiritual solution was the primary thing that needed to happen in her life. It's not always only a spiritual solution. Yes, pray. Yes, pursue Christian fellowship and community. Yes, read your Bible. Yes, allow your mind to be renewed through seeking God and seeking His understanding and insight into the world. Yes, spend time in worship. That will definitely change your mental state. But please do not make people with mental illness feel like that the only solution is a spiritual solution. Because it's not. And it's okay for you to pursue other solutions. Number two, it does not mean that if you struggle with mental health, mental illness issues, that you are not a good enough Christian. Like your spiritual life is somehow lacking, or your trust in Jesus or your love for Him isn't sufficient, or that you aren't being faithful in some way. Listen, this is one of the areas where I hate the health and prosperity gospel. It gives people the idea that if you love Jesus and you serve Him and you're doing what you're supposed to, you won't have any struggles. It's a lie. You will. And all of us from experience know this. We go through difficult times. We go through tough seasons. It does not mean that the mental struggles that you are facing are somehow something lacking in your life as a Christian. It does not mean that the mental struggles that you are facing are a direct result of sin in your life. Now, let me say this. They can be. Okay, next week we're going to talk about anxiety. And we're gonna kind of take a full orb look at anxiety as a clinical mental illness. And listen, if you are a person who you have anxiety like Grace does, and you're experiencing a panic attack, and it's not necessarily because you're not trusting God, it's not because that you've failed to give it to Him, it's not because of the circumstance, but something's going on inside of you, and it is producing inside of you a panic attack, you are not sinning when that happens to you. Now, you can have sinful anxiety. The kind of anxiety that says, I don't know if I can trust God for this, so I got to worry about this, and I got to be up all night about this, and I got to be stewing over this. And you can have sinful anxiety. Both are true. But because you have mental health, mental illness, that does not necessarily mean that it's a direct result of some sin in your life, just like with a physical illness. For instance, you can have two people with the exact same kind of cancer. And one person, there's no direct correspondence between their lifestyle and their cancer. And the other person, you can directly say, they have cancer because of choices they made in their life. So same can be true with mental illness. It can be a result of some sin in your life. It can be a result of sin that somebody else did to you. But it's not always that direct correspondence. Sometimes it's simply because you live in a broken world. Listen to me really closely. If you have a diagnosed clinical mental health issue, anxiety, panic disorder, depression, when you are going through those and you don't know where it came from and you don't know what is causing it, and it is not a result of you not trusting God or not a result of you depending on Him, that's not sin in your life. That's simply something that's going on inside of you. It's sickness, and you aren't a bad Christian, and you don't have a weak faith because you suffer from it. Three, it does not mean that if you struggle with mental health or illness that you are possessed by a demon. I just need to be clear about that. We need to understand it. Now, it's clear from the New Testament that mental health issues can, at times, be produced by demonic activity. That's true. At times, it can be produced by demonic activity. You look at the pages of the New Testament. You look at the Gospels. Jesus often encountered people who, from outward appearances, from our 21st century perspective, looked like they had a mental illness. And Jesus cast a demon out of them, and they are whole. So at times, mental health issues may be the manifestation of demonic activity. Listen, I believe in the devil. I believe that there are evil spiritual forces at work in the universe. I believe that they can wreak havoc in our lives. I believe that they can be at play with the things that we are hearing inside our head, with our internal dialogues. I mean, Jesus says that Satan is the father of lies, and every word that comes out of his mouth is a lie. So he wants to lie to you. He wants to speak into your heart and into your life. I believe in all of those things, but this is the part that you need to hear very closely. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have been saved, sealed, and delivered forever from the power of the devil. And you have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of the living God, living inside of you, filling every part of you, and there is a no vacancy sign on your life. You cannot, as a follower of Jesus, be possessed by a demon. Nevertheless, there is always a spiritual component to mental health issues, which means it's okay for you to ask God to heal you. It is okay. It's okay for us to pray and ask God to heal Grace as we were going through some of these things. Now, that doesn't mean He will, but it's okay to ask. Hey, just like any other thing in prayer, it's okay to ask. But prayer is an acknowledgement that He's the one in charge, not us. It's a request. You ask Him. He may or He may not. It means it's okay to pursue your faith. It means it's okay to grow in your relationship with Christ. It means it's okay to live in Christian community. It means it's okay to spend time in worship. It means it's okay to be honest with other believers about the struggles that you are facing. And here's the important one. It means, because it is a spiritual issue, and this is the beautiful one, it means that God can use your mental health or illness issues to grow you into the person He wants you to be. Now, that one may be hard for you to swallow, depending on what God's done in your life. But I think the real growth of faith when you're dealing with mental health issues, when you're dealing with mental illnesses, go, God's working in and through this. Listen, 8 years ago, nine years ago, when we got a phone call from the middle school and they told us to come to school because they were having some issues with our daughter in the next several years going through that, I would have never envisioned my daughter standing up here in front of everybody and telling about what God did in her life. But God didn't work by taking it away. God worked through it. Listen, I'll say this to you. The greatest area that you're going to see God at work in your life, the way that you're going to be able to look back and go, man, I know God did that, is not going to be the times when he took the pain away. It's not going to be the times when he created a solution to the problem. It's when God walked with you through the middle of that. And he didn't abandon you, and he didn't leave you, and it was hard, and you despaired. We're going to see Paul say this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He despaired even of life itself. Like, can you just, you know, like, give me a witness and say, amen, I've been there. I've been in those moments where I despaired even of life itself. The Apostle Paul said that about himself, and yet God brought him through it and strengthened him because of it. Paul says this, and we don't know for sure what it was, but Paul said that he had a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. So we don't know exactly, is that mental health? Is that physical health? What is it? But so there's something in Paul's life that goes, I was tortured, I was tormented by this thing that was going on in my life. And he says, 3 times I asked God to remove it. And 3 times God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Can it be that God's not bringing this upon you and that he's going to take it away, but God's saying, I'm not going to take it away, but I'm going to give you something more. I'm going to fill you with grace. I'm going to fill you with strength. I'm going to teach you how to deal with this. I'm going to use this in your life as a way that you can be used for my glory to help other people. So it's a spiritual issue that God is at work in your life, that God is doing something in your life. There's always a spiritual component, and God can use those things in your life. Look at what Paul says there in the passage we read earlier. Verse 17, he says, for this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. So as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Listen, here's what I say, and you've heard me say this before. I don't think anybody ever gets to heaven and goes, this wasn't worth it. Man, I think when you see the full scope of what God has done in your life, how he's worked in and through your life, all the hurt, all the pain, all the difficulty, all the joys, all the victories, celebration, when you see the full effect of that and you get to heaven, we'd look back and say, I'd do it all over again for this. Because he can work through those things. All right, last point. This is the point of the whole message series. It's okay to not be okay. It's okay to not be okay. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to act like you have it all together. You don't have to ever with mental health issues, you don't have to just paste on a fake smile. It's okay to not be okay. And Paul is really honest in this passage about some of the things he faced, afflicted in every way, perplexed, persecuted, struck down, wasting away. It's okay if you're a Christian and you struggle with mental health issues. It's okay for you to say at times that you feel afflicted and you feel perplexed and you feel persecuted and you feel struck down and you feel like you are wasting away. It's okay to go through times of sorrow. It's okay to go through times of difficulty. It's okay to go through times of depression and anxiety and anger and fear. And you are not a bad Christian if you face mental health issues. It's okay for you to admit those before God. The Psalms are full of those kinds of prayers. It's okay for you to admit in this church that you are not okay. Now, I need an amen, because when I say this church, I don't mean this building. I mean all of us. Is it okay for somebody to say, I'm not okay? We want this to be a place where it's safe for you to say, I'm hurting. I need help. I'm struggling. It's okay for you to come to Jesus when you are not okay. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says this, verses 28 to 30, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Oh God, doesn't that sound good? I'll give you rest. Rest. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Have you ever felt weary in your soul? Like, I don't mean just like it's a hard day and you're tired. I'm talking about a weariness that goes beyond just the external, that's deep down inside, where you're just like, I don't know if I can keep going. I don't know if I can carry this. I don't know if I can keep walking. Just weary in soul. And Jesus says, "Come to me and I will give you rest for your souls." Listen, the ultimate hope and answer we have is that Jesus is good. That Jesus is in control. That Jesus loves us. And He loves us with all that we are, you know, all the warts and all the hurts and all the brokenness and all. He loves us. And He will carry our burdens. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at the four most common mental health, mental illness issues in America. Now, the DSM-5, which is the kind of psychological manual for mental illnesses in America, there's over 300 different mental illnesses in DSM-5. We're obviously not going to cover all of them, okay? I just chose to say we're going to focus on four that are the most common. And by the way, these four kind of spread across a lot of other things that may be going on in your life. So the four that we're going to look at are anxiety, depression, bipolar disorder, and PTSD. So the next 4 weeks, those are going to be the topics that we're going to be trying to look at from a biblical standpoint. But it's important for you to keep in mind these three principles as we look at all of these things. It's often a physical issue, and that's okay. And you can seek help for physical issues. It's always a spiritual issue. So as a result, spiritual activity and prayer and Bible study, all of these things are important parts of your mental health. But most importantly, it's okay to not be okay. I want you to bow your heads with me this morning. Hey, if you're here this morning and just inside of you, you say, "I'm not okay. I'm not okay." One, you can say that to God today. Say, "God, I'm not okay. Hey, I'm carrying some hurts. I'm carrying some scars from my past. I've got some brokenness going on in my life. God, there's some things that go on in my heart and in my mind that I'm afraid if other people knew, they wouldn't love me and they wouldn't like me. And I'm scared to admit those to you, God. But it's okay." So maybe right now today, you just need to bring those before God and say, "God, I'm not okay." Hey, maybe today the walk away for you is you need to reach out to somebody else. Because here's one of the things I know that the devil does. The devil is like a lion, the Bible says, seeking someone to devour. And lions don't go after the healthy. They don't go after the ones who are with the strength of the herd. They go after the animals that are weak and isolated. The ones that have been kind of peeled off from the rest of the herd, those are the ones that a lion goes after. So listen, if you are trying to do this all on your own, if you are all by yourself, if you're not finding somebody, and that doesn't mean that you got to stand up in front of the church and confess to everybody, but confess to somebody. Say, "I'm not okay, I'm hurting." Reach out to somebody to find some help and some strength. And bring your burdens to Jesus. Give them to Him. So maybe if you've never given your life to Jesus and you're here today, you can do that. And you can say, "Jesus, I'm not okay. I've got hurts and pains and brokenness in my life, and I just bring those to you. I admit those to you. what you're going to find is he may not take it away, but he's going to give you strength, and he's going to give you peace, and he's going to give you healing that comes only from him. Father, we come before you today, and God, I know, like, I had anxiety this morning just about this message. Just, I don't want to step on a landmine. But I want to be faithful to your word too, God. So God, I pray that you would take the, you know, fragileness of my words, and your Holy Spirit would just take them right to people's hearts. God, that you would be at work. God, I pray, God, if there's people here today, and man, they are weary, they're not okay. God, I pray today would be the beginning of you working and doing something in their life. God, I pray that maybe today for some people this would be the day where they go, thank God there's a church that says it's okay to not be okay. And where we don't have to act like we've got it all together. Father, we pray for you to just now speak to us. Jesus, speak to us that you love us with a love that's bigger than we can possibly imagine. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to sing. And then after we sing, we'll be dismissed. And if you today said, hey, I want to give my life to Jesus, I want to trust in him, if you'll just take a minute to fill out one of those blue cards, and on the way out the door, just place it in the offering basket. Hey, number two, if you're here today and you say, I'm not okay, and you want somebody to help you, if you want some prayer or some encouragement, you can write that on a blue card, and that'll come to me, and I'll be happy to do that. But what I'd even more encourage you to do is reach out to somebody. Me, Grace, Larissa, a friend, reach out to somebody else and say, hey, I'm not okay, and get some help. So we're going to stand together. We're going to sing. We're going to sing, Jesus loves me. Amen, doesn't he? Yeah. Let's stand and sing together.
Jesus.